Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. The most entertaining hour of your day is here, right here, live on WKAR's Current Sports. WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Yes, I am your host, Al Martin. And boy, oh boy, I know that many of you Michigan State Spartan fans are waking up, well, I should say did wake up today with a huge smile on your face, seeing as though you watched your Michigan State football team absolutely give it to the Washington State Cougars last night out in beautiful San Diego, California, in the Holiday Bowl. Mark D'Antonio turning this program around after going 3-9. Michigan State finishing 10-3. 10-3. Double-digit wins yet again for Mark D'Antonio's program. It was also quite the milestone for Coach D, seeing as though last night's win over Washington State also marked his 100th win as the head coach of the Michigan State football team. Incredible stuff. We will have coverage from that game last night. Plenty of dialogue for you. And we'll break down how Michigan State was able to pull out the win over the Cougars last night and do it rather convincingly. We'll break down that game. We'll hear from Coach D'Antonio as well. We'll have some post-game comments intermixed with our introduction, as well as you'll hear from wide receiver, junior wide receiver, Felton Davis III. We will also welcome to the show Kyle Turk for the first time in current sports history. Kyle will join me on the air. He is the sports editor at Impact Sports, and he was out alongside Zachary Swiezicki. He was out there in San Diego covering the Holiday Bowl. He'll talk about what the scene was like on the field, watching the trophy presentation, hearing from head coach Mark D'Antonio and the players about what this win means for the program. Quite the boost this program will get now with a bowl win such as that over a pretty good team like Washington State that will propel them into next season with pretty much everybody staying intact and coming back. And I must say, I was surprised that one player announced right after the game that he will be returning to East Lansing. I think you guys know who I'm talking about. So I'll elaborate more on the Holiday Bowl between the Cougars and the Spartans in just a moment. Then on the back end of the show, we will talk Michigan State men's basketball as Tom Izzo gets back at it tonight, welcoming Cleveland State to the friendly confines of the Breslin Center, and we will close things up with Reflection Friday that will, of course, feature the Detroit Lions as they get ready to close out their season, and we'll talk briefly about the Detroit Pistons. That and more. If you want to be a part of the fun, you know there are multiple ways in which you can do so. You can pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. You can also join us via social media. Check out the live stream. It's up and running right now at facebook.com/currentsports. Comment below that video. Many of you are already doing that. I'll read those comments. I'll get to a few of those comments later on this hour. And you can tweet us At Al Martin, WKAR is my official Twitter handle, or you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the obvious, of course, Michigan State football. Brian Lewerke, he threw for 213 yards and 3 touchdowns. L.J. Scott ran for 110 yards and 2 scores for number 18 Michigan State, which took advantage of Luke Falk's absence in route of number 21 Washington State, 42-17 in the Holiday Bowl on Thursday night. Lewerke also rushed for 73 yards for MSU, which reached double-digit in wins for the 8th time in program history. Pretty impressive stuff. Falk, who was photographed earlier in the week with a cast on his left wrist, he went through warm-ups but came out in street clothes at game time. He was replaced by redshirt sophomore Tyler Helinski, who made his first career start and 8th appearance of the season. The young Spartans appear to be in good hands next season with Lewerke, who was just a redshirt sophomore this season. All the other starting skill position players will return for Michigan State next season. The future looks bright. Michigan State fans will have more on the Holiday Bowl in just a moment. In other bowl game action last night, we saw TCU top Stanford in a thriller, 39-37 in the Valero Alamo Bowl. Oklahoma State topped Virginia Tech, 30-21 in the Camping World Bowl. And Navy stomped on Virginia, 49-7 in the Military Bowl. Now, we also have 2 Big Ten teams in action today. Kentucky will play Northwestern not too far from now at 4:30 p.m. in the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. And Ohio State will take on USC in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic at 8:30 p.m. down in Arlington, Texas, at the home of my Dallas Cowboys, AT&T Stadium. All right, the Michigan State women's basketball team was also in action yesterday, and they captured their Big Ten opener with a convincing 68-46 win over Indiana in Bloomington. MSU improves to 18-18 in Big Ten openers. The Spartans have now won a season-high 6 straight games, improving to 11-3 overall and 1-0 in league action. Indiana falls to 7-7 overall and 0-1 in Big Ten play. This was the Spartans' first win in Bloomington since 2013. Also, a few numbers I want to throw at you guys. Michigan State was led by a season-high 21 points from redshirt senior guard Brandi Agee. She also added 6 boards. Junior center Jenna Allen, a native of nearby Bedford, Indiana, she added 14 points, 5 boards, while fellow Indiana native senior forward Taya Reimer, and also current sports production assistant Taya Reimer, she scored 12. The Spartans return home for their home Big Ten opener on New Year's Eve against Rutgers. The game is the 5th and final doubleheader with the Michigan State men's team. The men's game will begin at 12 noon, while the women tip off shortly after that matchup at 4 p.m. And speaking of the Michigan State men's basketball team, you can catch your Michigan State men's hoop squad tonight, playing in its first game after the Christmas holiday, hosting Cleveland State at the Breslin Center. Tip-off slated for 6 p.m. This will be the 9th all-time meeting between Michigan State and Cleveland State. The Spartans lead the head-to-head series 8-0, and MSU is 5-0 all-time against the Vikings at home. The last meeting between the two teams was an 83-75 Michigan State win back on December 16th, 2005. The Spartans, who have won 11 straight games, improved to 12-1 overall with non-league wins over Houston Baptist and Long Beach State last week. In scoring more than 100 points in consecutive games, it marked the first time MSU had done that since surpassing the century mark in the first three games of the 04-05 season. And speaking of the Breslin Center, a burst pipe sent water flowing into the Breslin Center concourse on Wednesday, but the facility is still expected to be able to host a scheduled men's hoop game today, as Michigan State again will take on Cleveland State. Now, a video taken by State Senator Rick Jones shows water pouring in from a pipe in the ceiling above the concourse near the southeast entrance of the building. The water flows across the concourse floor and toward the arena. The Lansing State Journal reported yesterday morning that water was shut off after 10 minutes. But again, the game will still go on and the damage was minor. All right, the Detroit Pistons, the Orlando Magic, exploited the Pistons bench to take a 102-89 victory at the Amway Center. The Pistons' first game since starting point guard Reggie Jackson went down with a severely sprained ankle that will keep him out for at least the next 6 weeks. Ish Smith, he received the start and did work. He was solid with 18.7 rebounds, 5 assists. And we also saw Langston Galloway come off the bench and score just 3 points, though. Ugh. 1 for 9 from the field. And get this. This is what did the Pistons in last night. I watched that game. That was like my appetizer before I watched the Michigan State football team rout Washington State last night. The Pistons bench did them in. The bench was 3 for 22 from the field. Atrocious. Tobias Harris led the Pistons with 21 points. Andre Drummond added 17 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 block shots, and he chipped in a steal. Andre did work. The Pistons sit at 19-15 and will now welcome the San Antonio Spurs to Little Caesars Arena tomorrow night. It does not get easier for the red, white, and royal blue. The Winged Will is in action tonight. The Detroit Red Wings, 13-17-7. They will take on the New York Rangers tonight at 7:30 p.m. inside of Little Caesars Arena. You can catch that one on Fox Sports Detroit. The Wings have lost 3 straight and find themselves 11 points behind the Rangers and the Islanders for wild card spots. This is the second meeting for these two teams this season. The Wings fell 2-1 in overtime against the New York Rangers back on November 24th. And, of course, last but certainly, thank goodness, least, right? The Detroit Lions at 8-7 will play the Green Bay Packers this Sunday. The Packers sitting at 7-8. These are two teams that have been statistically already eliminated from playoff contention. That game will take place 1 p.m. this Sunday at Ford Field. You can catch the game on Fox. The Lions are trying for the first sweep of the Packers since 1991. Both teams, again, eliminated from the playoffs. Both made it last season. And get this, if you remember last year, their matchup to end the regular season actually decided who won the NFC North. What a difference a year makes. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports. Live stream is up and running, or tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
By himself in the shotgun. Rolls to his left, winds up and guns it towards the back of the end zone. The catch is made by Cody White. Gerald Holmes, the running back, to the left of Lewerke. He'll step to his left, plant that right foot, and throw the ball deep. Got a man wide open. It's Felton Davis at the 10. He's into the end zone. The snap back. Bryant with time. Nowhere to throw it, so he'll run to his left. Now he throws on the run. The ball is batted and still caught in the end zone. Damian Terry takes a shotgun snap. He'll option to his left. On his feet at the goal line. Into the end zone. To the right of LJ. Hand off to LJ. Big hole up the middle. LJ at the 10. LJ at the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown, MSU. The Spartans are victorious.
But if you look at the football game, I thought that he played very well defensively, really throughout, with the exception probably of one or two drives, but played very well against a good offense, very well-conceived offense, good conceptually. And, we tackled well. We tackled well in space, came up with a couple turnovers. Offensively, we got on the board, and we ran the ball effectively and had big plays in the passing game. And I said in the football game, because of their pressure, their quarterback was going to have to create. And that's what he did. He created with his feet and then with his arm as well. And, big things happened. I thought we played very solidly on special teams and come away with a convincing win. So very, very excited about it.
It's big, for us to, silence the doubt, silence the critics, we've been through a lot, from whenever the last game was last year, in December. So we've been through a lot from through that all the way to now, and it speaks volumes, like Coach D said, for our coaches and what Coach D and Coach Manny and them put us through and help build men, it's just put us through, put us through the fire, and we survived. So we're here now with 10 wins.
Yes, that is how we start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. And what you just heard was a nice little montage of what took place last night out in San Diego, California, in the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. The 40th annual Holiday Bowl. Michigan State just making it look easy peasy, lemon squeezy last night. 42-17, the final. 42-17. Nobody saw that coming. I mean, heck, I was on the airwaves yesterday as we previewed this matchup, and I said, man, when the fourth quarter hits, Spartan fans, you are going to be chomping on those fingernails. You are going to be nervous. It is going to be a very close game. I eventually picked Michigan State to win, but just by 3 points. 42-17? Oh my goodness. And we did something pretty cool yesterday in light of Michigan State men's basketball taking on Cleveland State tonight. We decided to open up our phone lines yesterday, and the caller who came closest to last night's Holiday Bowl final would win two tickets to check out the Michigan State men's basketball game tonight. And after looking at the tallies, my man Mike from Saginaw, he wins the tickets. He actually predicted a 42-38 win for Michigan State. So still close. But actually, in Carell, Carell Vega, host of WKAR's All Things Considered, and he's been filling in behind the glass he's been doing a heck of a job, too, all week as engineer for WKAR's Current Sports. And I had to go back just a moment to see what the score was, to see who had the closest prediction there. And you actually told me that, Mike actually predicted the correct amount of points
for Michigan State, which is 42 last night, right?
Right on the money, yeah.
Right on the money. He actually predicted, again, 42-38, Michigan State wins. So, Michael, you win a pair of tickets to check out Michigan State men's basketball tonight. Thing is, we do need your information. Call back in, and I may have Mike's information back in my office. I have to check. But, Mike, call in if you're listening right now, all right? The tickets are yours. Congratulations. We had John from DeWitt call in. He predicted 31-28. Stewart from Lansing, he predicted a 27-21 win for Michigan State. John also predicted Michigan State to win. And we also had Susan from DeWitt call in, 28-24. She gave us her score yesterday as well. But in the end, it was one man who can win those tickets, and that was Mike from Saginaw. But to break down this game, I mean, very surprising. And you know, leading up to the game, heck, not even just hours prior to kickoff between these two teams, but days leading up to the game, we had heard this chatter about starting quarterback for Washington State, Luke Falk, having some sort of cast on his non-throwing hand, his left hand. And a lot of people were speculating, okay, how healthy is Luke Falk going to be? Because he's walking around, he's got this cast on. It's his non-throwing hand, so we assume that he's still going to be behind center, right? I mean, this is the Pac-12's all-time leading passer. He's not going to miss this game, right? Heck, you heard head coach Mike Leach during the final media availability for head coach Mark D'Antonio and Mike Leach earlier this week. He was asked about Luke, and he said, hey, what's up with, you know, he was asked about Luke's hand, and the reporter said, hey, what's up with Luke's non-throwing hand? He's in a cast. And Coach Leach, the classic jokester that he is, he referred to that non-throwing hand and said, look, he's been wearing something on that hand all year. We've given him the nickname the Kingslayer, which, again, is a ripoff right from the movie Game of Thrones, Jaime Lannister, who got his hand chopped off in one of the episodes, all right? But he didn't say that Luke Falk was not going to play in the Holiday Bowl. We found that information out minutes before kickoff, and that completely changed the perception when it comes to the outcome of Michigan State and Washington State. When I saw that Luke Falk was not going to play, I said, oh my goodness, this Michigan State defense can relax a bit now. And we saw Tyler Helinski get the start for the Cougars. And Tyler just, you know, when this is his first start. And you make your first start at an end-of-the-year bowl matchup, you're just trying to not mess up. You're trying to do enough to not get the coaches ticked off at you. You're trying to do enough to give your team a chance to possibly win the game later on come the fourth quarter. All right? You're just out there trying to not make a mistake. You're not trying to sling it around the field. That's how Tyler played to me. Tyler came in and he played really, really safe. Didn't take a lot of chances downfield, a lot of short dump-offs, which we expected from this air raid Washington State offense. But there were a lot of obvious dump-offs, you know, throwing to the open man, not really moving the chains. I mean, there was one drive where they're really moving the chains. They ended up with a field goal. They actually struck first in that game. But for the most part, Washington State and Tyler Helinski played it safe. Didn't open up the playbook until it was desperation mode in the final stanza. That tremendously helped the Michigan State football team. But I will say, when you look at this disparity and you look at how the game was played by Michigan State, heck, I believe that even if Luke Falk did play behind center yesterday, if Michigan State, especially that defense, if that Michigan State defense was that locked in against Luke Falk, I believe Michigan State would have still won the game. I truly believe that. They played very, very well. Tackled in space. I can't remember one blown tackle by the Spartan defense. They kept everything in front of them. And now, again, some of that has to do with the Washington State scheme that was altered a bit due to the absence of Folk and now throwing in Helinski. He played it very, very safe. Those small dump-offs kept Michigan State with everything in front of them. And they didn't miss the tackle once they did make contact with that said receiver. And offensively, Michigan State started off slow. You know, Brian Lewerke did not come out the gates in this matchup lights out. You know, and some of it had to do with some of his inaccuracy early, but also some of it had to do with the receivers just dropping the football. I mean, remember that crossfield throw to Felton Davis where it hits his gloves. I mean, it hits his gloves. An easy catch. It hits the paws of Davis and then hits the grass. So that's not Brian Lewerke's fault. But when Brian settled in and he got that offense going with his legs, Washington State's defense did not have an answer for the legs of Brian Lewerke. And I love his nickname. I forget which player gave him this nickname, but they call Brian Lewerke White Lightning. You saw that hashtag a lot last night. White Lightning was truly that. He was fantastic last night. Washington State could not make any adjustment that corralled Brian Lewerke on the ground. And when Brian Lewerke was not burning the Washington State defense on the ground, you know who else was? Mr. L.J. Scott. And that's a question that I had for Seth Newman yesterday of the Spartan Sports Network. Brian Lewerke has had a few games where, you know, he's had some relatively consistent performances from start to finish, but he hasn't really broken out and really turned a lot of heads. You know, he had a fumbling problem earlier this year. He's been up and down. It's been a roller coaster ride watching L.J. Scott carry the football this season. But man, oh man, did he put it together last night. He really put it together last night, and Washington State could do nothing to slow him down up front. Great performance from L.J. Scott. Great performance from Brian Lewerke. And Brian Lewerke, I mean, you look at his halftime stats. I mean, this dude, again, after those first couple drives, he really started to get it going and found some consistency with his arm. And you can see that chemistry growing when it comes to receivers like a Cody White, receivers like a Felton Davis. Fantastic. Brian Lewerke was 10 of 15 going into the locker room, had 163 yards, averaging 10 yards, almost 11 yards per pass attempt. Two touchdowns. And oh, by the way, to go along with those 163 yards through the air, he had 50 yards on the ground. Well, excuse me, 59, correction, 59 yards on the ground. L.J. Scott had 50 with 11 carries. Brian Lewerke had 8 carries for 59 yards. Amazing. Washington State had no answer. So I thought that they were going to kind of open up the playbook for, you know, for when it comes to the Cougar offense, open up the playbook a bit. I mean, you're down 21-3 at halftime. You got to get back in this thing. Let Helinski throw the ball down the field. And that Michigan State defense didn't allow him to be honest with you. They played fantastic. They really did. You got to give a lot of credit to that Michigan State defense. And also, I want to note this. Brian Lewerke was named the Holiday Bowl Offensive MVP. And Chris Fry, senior linebacker for the Michigan State football team, he was named the Holiday Bowl Defensive MVP. So great way for Chris Fry to go out. Chris Fry, he had, what, 6 total tackles, 4 of those solo, and also had a fumble recovery. Great game for him. But, you know, you got to be excited about this team. And what more can you say about head coach Mark D'Antonio? I'm running out of adjectives, folks. I don't know how this man, after turning around this program the way he did, after dealing with the criticism and dealing with some of you so-called Spartan fans out there criticizing the man and saying that he should be on the hot seat based on what has happened in the offseason, he's not the right man for the job, and all he does is lead Michigan State the following year to a 10-3 record, gets his 100th win as the head man in charge of the Spartan football program, closing his 11th season and a school record 5th bowl victory in 10 tries. It was also the Spartans' 6th 10-win season under Coach D and 8th all-time. How he does not win Big Ten Coach of the Year is beyond me. You won it in my eyes, Coach D'Antonio. And I think anything that Michigan State football endures now under the D'Antonio era, from here moving forward, all you're gonna have to do is just look back at what happened in 2017, what happened this year, and reference how Coach D'Antonio righted the ship. He ignored the noise, dealt with those issues in-house, and went to work. No matter what Michigan State goes through, the football program, no matter what Michigan State football goes through from this point forward, all you have to do is reference 2017. If you need any more reassurance whether or not Coach D'Antonio is the right man to lead the Spartans. Remarkable. It was so cool watching him up there, you know, with the 100 cake. They actually presented him with a cake. I don't know, for those that stayed up and watched the trophy ceremony, they brought out a cake that had the number 100 on it to commemorate his 100th victory as the head man in charge for the Spartans. And you know what? I saw this tweet floating around yesterday as well, and I had to retweet it. If you all remember when Michigan State missed the bowl game last year, going 3-9, just treading water all season. It's a really bad year. Mark D'Antonio, on December 31st of 2016, New Year's Eve of last year, at approximately 5:28 p.m., he tweeted out this, quote, 1 year ago today, the Spartans stood on the big stage in college football. We will rise up again. Put your name on it. Hashtag 2017 Spartans. Put your name on it. Put your name on it, Michigan State Spartan fans. Because you all did rise up again here in 2017. And it's quite remarkable when evaluating how you did it. What a season. I want to hear your thoughts on the Holiday Bowl. I want to hear your thoughts on Coach D'Antonio getting his 100th victory. I want to hear your thoughts on this improbable season that now finishes with 10 wins for Michigan State football, because I didn't see it coming. Nobody saw this coming, all right? If you say you saw it coming, you didn't really believe that. 3-9 and you go to 10 wins, stop it. Stop playing yourself, all right? You didn't really believe that. And now looking at the future for this team, that's about everybody comes back. I thought L.J. Scott was gone. I tweeted that out last night. I said, this is the last time you will see L.J. Scott in a green and white uniform. He's a running back. The shelf life of a running back is not that long. Strike while the iron is hot. You have a great bowl game performance. Go to the league and get that paper. He spoke with the sideline reporter on the Fox broadcast last night and said, I'm returning to East Lansing. So Michigan State returns a lot next season, including all of its skilled position players. This team is going to be one that will compete for a Big Ten championship next year. And also, I want to give I want to just kind of air this out as well, because I love Gus Johnson. Gus Johnson is my guy. He's one of my favorite play-by-play voices in all of sports. I was very excited when I found out that he would be the man behind the mic calling last night's Holiday Bowl game. But Gus just seemed tired and sleepy last night, didn't he? Not really enthusiastic at all. Cody White, touchdown. Brian Lewerke having a great game tonight. Completed pass. Oh, Felton Davis, that moves the chains. L.J. Scott, touchdown. I have never seen Gus Johnson that unenthusiastic in all of my years watching this man. I don't know, maybe he clubbed too hard the night before, but he was just not into it at all. Maybe he had some money on Washington State. Who knows? But Gus, I was screaming at my television all night long saying, wake up, brother. Well, what is up? You need some Folgers? You need some coffee right now? What is going on? Oh, all right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite our guest for today's Current Sports, Kyle Turk, will join me live here on our airwaves. He is the sports editor at Impact Sports. He was there out in San Diego, California, covering all things Holiday Bowl. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday. I like to call it Fri-yay, December 29, 2017, our last Current Sports show before we usher in the new year, 2018. Right around the corner. Celebrate responsibly to all of you out there and stay warm. We are certainly undergoing quite the freeze across the nation here. If you aren't in Florida or California, you are wearing a jacket when you go out that door, all right? It's pretty crazy. So stay warm, especially those in mid-Michigan where it's like 1 degree outside. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We just wrapped up segment A, highlighting the Holiday Bowl. You got my takeaways when it comes to Michigan State's route of Washington State, a 42-17 win for Michigan State. Mark D'Antonio getting his 100th win as the head man in charge of the green and white. Brian Lewerke, a great game for him. 13 of 21 is how he finished. 213 yards, 3 touchdowns. LJ Scott, 18 carries, 110 yards. Felton Davis led the way when it came to receiving. 4 catches for 118 yards. Cody White right behind him. 3 catches for 41 yards. Cody White had 2 touchdowns. Felton Davis had 1. An all-around great effort. The defense swarmed everywhere. Joe Bocci, I want to mention Bocci as well. He was actually named the team MVP at the Michigan State football banquet not too long ago. Bocci was fantastic. He had 6 tackles, 4 solo. He also recovered an onside kick attempt from the Cougars when they were really in desperation mode trying to mount a comeback. But a great win for Michigan State. What a way to close out the 2017 season. Right now, I want to welcome to the show for the first time in Current Sports history, Kyle Turk, who is the sports editor at Impact Sports. He was out there in San Diego, California. I believe Kyle is still out in San Diego, California, as, of course, Kyle and Zachary Swiezicki covered the Holiday Bowl action on the West Coast. Kyle, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Al, I'm doing pretty well. And, you know, you talked about how cold it is back in Michigan. We're almost on our way out the door here in San Diego, but I did want to mention 68 degrees out there in California.
Oh, I'm jealous. Kyle, did you hit the beach at all? Did you enjoy some of that sun? I'm sure you did.
We tried to get out to the coast a little bit. I mean, it's a work trip for us, so you can't
right.
can't take in too many pleasures, but we were able to make it to a few of the famous landmarks here, and there's a very very big city.
Yeah, I've heard. I've certainly heard. And Correll, you probably know more about the landscape than probably Kyle or myself, right? You were out on the West Coast for quite some time, right?
Yeah, I grew up there. I was lived there 18 years.
Exactly. In San Diego, right?
Yeah.
So you know more about the landscape.
Born and raised, yeah.
Born and raised in San Diego. Very cool stuff. All right, Kyle, you were there watching what ensued on the field at the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. First off, when you guys heard that Luke Falk was not going to go and be behind center for the Cougars, what was your instant reaction?
We were doing the pregame show for our play-by-play duties, and we almost said it over there, and we were we were in shock as we were saying it. That was a big loss for the Cougars, and I'm not going to say the game was won and lost on that decision not to play Luke Falk, but couple that with the effect of losing those couple of receivers that Washington State had missing through suspension, and I think it changed the game completely. The Washington State offense was expected to put a good fight up against the Michigan State defense, and I think losing those guys had an effect that made Michigan State just win the physicality battle on the defensive side of the ball.
Without a doubt. I mean, and you look at that move to not play Falk, and Falk is going to definitely go to the league, and I think he'll do great things. I love him when you look at what he's able to do on camera. I love everything that he can do. But you look at the way Michigan State played that game. If Luke Falk was behind center in that game, how big of a difference would it have made? Would you still have chosen Michigan State or predicted Michigan State to win that game?
It's tough to say because his backup, Tyler Helinski, stepped in and had a pretty solid game in his absence. I mean, completed 39 of his 50 passes. I mean, Falk's more of a dink and dunk kind of guy underneath, so maybe if he plays, he gets his receivers in a better position to move downfield with the ball. But, I mean, Michigan State defensively looked like they were ready for whatever Washington State was ready to throw at them.
Now, you look at the entirety of this Michigan State win. What really shocked me as well, Kyle, was the performance of L.J. Scott. I did not expect him to get over the century mark on the ground in this game, but he had 18 carries, 110 yards. How was he able to really burn the Cougars' defense on the ground?
Well, you remember that Washington State was without a consensus All-American Hercules Mata'afa there for that first half.
And, right.
That is where Michigan State made most of their work on the ground was in that first half. And you mentioned Brian Lewerke's legs being a factor. And I think this is one of those situations where you can game plan for a guy's legs like Lewerke, but until you really see it in action in game speed, it's very tough to replicate. And on the flip side of that, L.J. Scott provided the yards he needed to, is making that miss in the open field. Was able to find space here and there. The offensive line had one of their better games of the season. I thought Kevin Jarvis, Brian Allen played pretty exceptional games as well.
L.J. Scott announced after things were said and done in this game, as he chatted with the sideline reporter on the Fox broadcast. The sideline reporter asked him whether or not he was going to come back to East Lansing, and he said, yeah, I plan to come back to East Lansing for my senior year. When looking at that decision for L.J. Scott, for me, I thought he was gone. I'm looking at that. You end the year with a performance like that. The shelf life of a running back isn't that great. It's very, very short at the next level. L.J. Scott coming back, is it the right decision?
I think his draft value is not going to improve by leaps and bounds, even if he comes back and has a monster year and a senior year next year. As you said, the amount of hits you take in an extra year of carries maybe limits your career on the back end. We could see him maybe play only 3 or 4 years if he makes it to the NFL, and that's still even pretty solid by most people's standards regardless. So, mm-hmm. Is it the right decision for him? I mean, if he's going to trust what he does, then why not let him stay in school another year, maybe get a shot at another Big Ten title? But I think L.J. Scott, I don't know if he's been kicking himself for making this move, but it's an interesting one because, as a lot of people have said, and I kind of felt the same way, that he was pretty destined to leave, and as a skill set, I think could have to come into the NFL right away, even after if he was to leave this year, have an impact in the league.
Kyle, what were your thoughts of the Holiday Bowl just in general as a spectacle? I'm sure this is your first time being there at that stadium. Was it SDCCU Stadium? Did I get that right?
formerly Qualcomm. Yeah, I mean,
right.
I hate to say it, but I can kind of understand why the Chargers left to go to L.A. The place is definitely seen better years. The facilities seem a little outdated here and there, but, I mean, from where we were, I mean, excellent spectacle. Everyone in San Diego is very accommodating. Great time out there. Got to give a shout out to the people back at East Lansing at Impact that were able to have us go out there. Ed Glazer, the general manager there, just an all around great effort. It's a once in a lifetime trip for us. I mean, we had a great time while we were out here, and Zach and I were trying to make sure that we're one of the people selected to get on a different flight. That way we can stay out in San Diego just a little bit longer.
You're trying to soak that up as much as possible, right? When it comes to the ratio in comparison to Spartan fans and Cougar fans, who won that battle?
I'd say it was split pretty close down the middle. Washington State traveled a couple, it's, you know, San Diego in the southern part of California, so it's a pretty long trip from them. I remember hearing there were people that were riding on the trolley with us a few nights ago, and they were from the Seattle area, and they said there was snowing up there too, so I'm sure they were looking for a chance to get out of their poor weather just as Michigan State fans were.
Kyle Turk, sports editor at Impact Sports. Kyle joins us live here on WKAR's Current Sports from San Diego, California, which, of course, was the site of the 40th annual Holiday Bowl between Michigan State and Washington State. Kyle, what was that scene like? You know, the trophy ceremony, Mark D'Antonio grinning from ear to ear, the players very happy to end the year and flip the script, getting 10 wins on the season. Just describe the emotion from the players, the emotion from Coach D'Antonio, maybe a few of your favorite quotes when talking to the players and coaching personnel from last night.
The one that sticks out to me is Chris Fry during that post-game press conference. He was asked about his journey from his entire four-year career here at Michigan State, and he ended up saying, I don't want to take this jersey off. And that kind of speaks to the program that D'Antonio's built here. You know, gets to that 100-win mark, a nice round number. And while it doesn't look like he might be on the heels of Duffy Doherty anytime soon, it speaks a lot to the tradition of winning that D'Antonio's really built in his 11 years here at the program. I mean, you think about where this Michigan State team was at when he took over, and to see them grow into a national contender, you know, throughout the first part of this decade, and who knows, in 2018, what the amount of talent they have coming back has a shot to do great things next year as well.
Who did you guys speak to other than Chris? Who was made available to you all?
We talked to Brian Lewerke and Felton Davis as well. Felton Davis is an interesting interview. He seems like a soft-spoken guy out in public, but you always get that little conversation from his teammates saying, oh, Felton's a nice, loud guy in practice. So that was interesting there. Joe Bocci came by. Damian Terry talked a little bit about the touchdown he scored late in the game. Brian Allen was made available too. And, you know, seeing those seniors walk off with a win in their final game, it's a nice little legacy for them, because they've been through pretty much the entire roller coaster spectrum there, from the 3-9 season a year and go being kind of stuck in almost football hell, and then to come out on the other side with a win in this bowl game and, you know, complete a massive turnaround. It's got to be extremely gratifying for them.
Oh, without a doubt. And Kyle, before we get you out of here, you know, you look at bowl games, and you know, every time around this, you know, this time of the year, you start to hear this dialogue on sports talk shows, on sports television shows, about how there are so many bowl games out there, way too many, 40-plus bowl games. What do they all really mean at the end of the day? But I tell you what, when you look at this one and you just compare it to how bad last season went, I think it symbolizes a lot. And I think it puts in perspective just how great of a coach Mark D'Antonio truly is. For this program, what do you think this win will symbolize? When we look, you know, like 5-10 years down the road, when we look at the year 2017, you know, finishing off with the Holiday Bowl win over Washington State, what do you think this win means to this program moving forward?
I think it proves, for one, that 2016 was a fluke season, you know, with different players being unavailable due to injury, and kind of maybe the worst of all possible things coming together at the same time. And the other side of it is that it could also serve as a stepping stone for next year. You see 19 of 22 starters returning now that LJ has decided to come back for his senior year. You're losing two or three guys that played major roles on this team, but this team won 10 games now and was a major player throughout the season, had a chance to play for the Big Ten title back in November until they lost to Ohio State. This is a talented team. LJ Scott coming back on offense is going to, you know, only increase the expectations for this team. They might be dark horse candidates to make some noise in the Big Ten, possibly in the national conversation as well.
Kyle Turk, sports editor at Impact Sports. Kyle, how can our listeners out there read your coverage from San Diego?
Well, before we get on our plane ride home, we've got a few more things up at impact89fm.org/sports. Follow at WDBM_sports on Twitter. I'm at Kyle Turk 5. Zach is at Zach GACHSWIES. Had a few fun videos where we get to answer some questions from Twitter followers. So we've had a blast out here in San Diego, and looking to maybe stay out here a few extra nights if the situation so arises.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic, right? Maybe you can ring in the new year out there, right? That may be too long, though, right, Kyle?
Yeah, we got to get back home and make sure our car isn't frozen under.
Very true. And I will be remiss if I did not ask you this as well, Kyle. Of course, as the days move along here and we inch closer to 2018, I'm looking forward to the college football playoff. You got Oklahoma, you got Georgia, you got, you know, Clemson and Alabama. I want to get a national championship pick from both you and Swizicki if he's near you.
Well, I think Clemson's as hot as any team in the nation right now, and you know, they've managed to replace Deshaun Watson very competently with Kelly Bryant. I think, you know, their total team ability has been something that it'll be interesting to see how they match up with Alabama in their third round of their heavyweight bout there. The Oklahoma Georgia game is going to be probably the most even of the four of the games that we see in that title round. But my pick is Clemson. I forget if Zach picked. He might have picked Oklahoma for his shot riding that Baker Mayfield strength. But who knows? Maybe with that sickness, might be in jeopardy there.
Yeah, only time will tell, right? All right, my man Kyle Turk, sports editor at Impact Sports. Kyle, thank you so much for your time. And you and Swizicki, you guys travel safely back to Michigan, all right?
Appreciate it, Al. Thanks for having me on.
You got it, my man. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll briefly give you some things to watch for when it comes to the Michigan State men's basketball game tonight against Cleveland State. And we will have Reflection Friday for you. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have just under 10 minutes left here in the show. We just finished up a chat with Kyle Turk, sports editor at Impact Sports, as Kyle gave us a firsthand account of what it was like witnessing that Michigan State football win over Washington State in the Holiday Bowl from San Diego, California. And yeah, Carell Vega, engineer, fill-in engineer for this week. Of course, Carell is the regular host of All Things Considered here on WKAR, and you can catch Carell later on this afternoon after 4 p.m. But Carell, with you being from San Diego, born and raised, man, you know, for us that don't know much about San Diego, I've never been. What is San Diego like?
Well, Kyle was absolutely right. It's a massive city. The county's huge. The city proper is also massive. But the thing that I loved about San Diego, and I really took for granted, you know, once I moved away, went to college, and now living here in the Midwest, is there's just so much to do. You know, there's the beaches. If you drive an hour northeast, you're in the mountains where there's snow during the winter, you know, Big Bear. There's so many things to do everywhere. There's desert hiking, and you can't beat the weather. The weather is just absolutely stunning. Free right joint. Now I was just checking right now, yeah, and it's like in the high 60s right now. I think you know, around the afternoon it gets up to like 75.
Right,
you can't beat that.
Wow, you cannot beat that at all, dude. And you, like I said, I mean, you look at how this freeze is just engulfing the U.S. of A right now. I mean, if you're not in Cali or in Florida, man, you're bundling up, right?
Absolutely.
I know you're missing, you know, your hometown right about now, right?
I am. Yeah, my brother is really, you know, he's like, I bet you regret moving now. And I'm like, you know, kind of. Yeah, I do.
Kind of. Yeah, when it comes to the weather.
But
yeah,
it's
right?
Expensive. So, you know.
Right. You can say that again, right? I feel like all of Cali is expensive. Absolutely. Right? Oh, boy. All right. 517-355-WKAR. If you want to get a quick call in, we literally have about 4 minutes left. I'm just going to combine the Michigan State Cleveland State preview with a segment we call Reflection Friday, where we look at the week that has been here on Current Sports and get you prepared for the weekend.
All right, Michigan State, Cleveland State tonight at 6 p.m. inside of the Breslin Center. Michigan State is 12-1 overall, 2-0 in the Big Ten, ranked number 2 in both major polls. Cleveland State, 3-9 overall, have not played a game yet in the Horizon League, and they are currently unranked. For me, what I'm looking for in this game is just to see if Michigan State can continue the dominance. Tom Izzo, regardless of what the final score has been, I mean, and when you evaluate the last two games against Houston Baptist and Long Beach State, Tom Izzo has not been happy because he's looking at the finer details when you play lower level competition, because he knows that the kitchen is going to get hot really, really soon with Big Ten play right around the corner. But look at Nick Ward. You know, Nick Ward has been great as of late, right? If you look at Ward's number, he's playing really the best all around basketball of his career right now, including making 19 of his last 20 shots. He has a field goal percentage of 686. That's tops in the Big Ten and is in the top 10 in college basketball. Very impressive stuff. I'm also going to look to see whether or not Miles Bridges can have yet another breakout game. He had a 33-point performance last week. That performance in combination with just both games against Houston Baptist and Long Beach State actually earned him Big Ten Player of the Week. As it pertains to the Detroit Lions, who will play the Green Bay Packers on Sunday afternoon, I'm going with a Lions win to end the regular season. However, it means nothing because the Lions are not going to make the playoffs. And I think maybe a day or two after that, Happy New Year's, Lions fans. Jim Caldwell will no longer be the head coach of the Honolulu Blue. All right, well, we are out of time. We will see you next week, Wednesday. That is when the next live edition of WKAR's Current Sports will hit you. We bid you all adieu, though, for the final time in the year 2017. I really hope you guys have a great time with you and yours ushering in the new year. Again, do it safely, be responsible, and I'll check you next year in 2018. All right. Much thanks to Kyle Turk for joining me. Karell Vega, outstanding job behind the glass all week. We'll be back at it next week, Wednesday, folks. As always, take care and be easy, people.